one of the other things I get some enjoyment out of is writing poetry, doing other types of writing, which I engage in, not all of which get published, or I seek to get published. I wrote another novel many years ago and decided if it was published, I probably couldn't continue in politics. So that's been put on the back burner and semi-forgotten about. But it amused me at the time when I was doing it. I love reading. I love going to good movies. And so you have to have life outside politics. Just occasionally dabbling in a bit of poetry is just part of that.
The novel that you decided not to publish, was it on the frisky side?
It was on the, I hope, amusing side. I don't think it was all that frisky, but it was sort of fun.
Okay.
And there's only about 5 people in the entire world who are allowed to read it.
Right. And could you give us a hint as to why you decided not to publish it?
Yeah, well, I could, but whether I'd actually be selected as a Fine Gael candidate for the next election would be then seriously open to question.
Okay,
And of course, there's an awful lot of people who may decide they really want to know more about it. And it was just a fun thing that I did at the time.
Right, okay. Actually, Laura, now, I mean, it was probably unfairly categorized as a kind of a sex romp, where it wasn't really. It was about a character who has relationship with a government minister, but then it's the fallout from that.
It was never that. When I wrote it, it goes back a lot of years now. That was 1989, between writing 2 different family law books. And at the time when it came out, it was a story that hadn't previously been written. There's since been many similar stories. There's been movies on a similar theme. And the focus of those stories was to tell the story of a couple who were unable to have a child themselves, who sought to adopt, the story of a mother who became pregnant outside marriage. The father of her child happened to be a TD. And the pain and difficulty they all went through as the mother gave her child up for adoption, changed her mind, child placed with adopters, they wished to retain the child. So it was never a story designed in the 50 Shades of Grey mode.
Yes.
But of course, when I was a minister, somebody refound it. Some 18 years after it was published, they complained to the censorship board about it. There were, in the entirety of the book, I think 2 paragraphs of very lame intimacy described. If people's lives were confined to that, they would be extremely boring. But of course,
it wasn't that boring. It happened in his office in the Dáil.
But I would hope even if that happened, it would happen with more insight and imagination.
Is that a factor, though, for TDs? That, you know, there's that old saw that politics is showbiz for ugly people. Present company hugely accepted. Do TDs and politicians get a bit of attention that way? Because there is that orb of power, you know, that glow of power.
I don't think particularly in Ireland they do. It may happen elsewhere, I think. Frankly, the TDs in all the different parties and none in Leinster House substantially focus on the work. But like everyone else, TDs have private lives, they have relationships, and the diversity of relationships that TDs have, I'm sure, simply reflect the diversity of relationships that everyone else have.
That makes me even more intrigued. All right, we'll take a reading.
I hope that was sufficiently obtuse.
Yes, it was. That was, yes, abundantly so, yes. Yes, but also no. Right, so the
first... Or even a maybe.
The first, we're going to have 2 poems. Now, the first one is more lighthearted. The second one is actually a bit more serious, but we'll get to that in the second part after the next commercial break. So this one is called Go Fly a Kite.
This is called Go Fly a Kite, and... Well, it's not all that serious, but it's intended to provide 1 or 2 amusing insights into present-day life. So should I give it a run?
Okay, off you go.
All right, so it's called Go Fly a Kite. Facebook friends in the cloud, becoming popular with the crowd. Devoted followers living online, fabricated world on which to dine. Dedicated tweeter, something to say, so much neater, 140 characters at play. Actively engaged in world affairs, brief profundities, but no one cares. Lots of likes and notifications too, social applause, globalised zoo. Moribund existence, intellectual cul-de-sac, cyberspace capture. Gotta get back on track. The sun is shining, the day is bright. Need to meet real people, and go fly a kite.
There you go. That's Go Fly a Kite. For the first time anywhere in the world, Alan Shatter reading his poetry. Just wonder if any of his Twitter active doll colleagues inspired that poem, says one texter. That was his first poem there. Maureen Langford says, I've always been a fan of Alan Shatter and we need legislators as good as him in government. Somebody else wants to know, what's it like being Jewish in Ireland and how does Alan feel about Judaism? Didn't get the time to talk about that, unfortunately. Sean, regular listener and immensely enjoying the interview with Alan Shatter, says M. Fiona says, Shatter played a pivotal role in equality legislation and recent Child and Family Bill, one of the most radical and progressive pieces of legislation, a real doer. Fair play, Alan, says Fiona. And the thing is, yeah, there might be a perception, particularly on Twitter, that everybody hates him. That's not the case at all. Where was your first kiss?
In the Gaeltacht in 1991, and her name was Ursula Cunningham, and if she's listening, she's from Roscommon.
Okay, that's allegedly. Her name was that. They're like this, probably 17 Ursula Cunninghams going, it wasn't me. And maybe one or two of them saying, I wish it was me. Do you give blood?
I haven't, no. I won't lie, I haven't, no.
Are you allergic to anything?
I think penicillin.
Do you know the words to Aaron Iveen?
Aaron the what?
Aaron the Bean, to the national anthem.
I know the words Aaron the Bean, yeah.
Yeah, come on then.
I have to mention the name of a political party in the first line. Sheena Fianna Fáil, Tá Fialla Éireann. Aaron.
Okay.
I used to teach it to the kids in school, so we used to end the week.
Good point.
We used to end the week every week with Aaron the Bean, and then we sang Up the Dubs and everything was great.
What's your least favourite household chore to do?
Oh, anything connected with the spare room, anything connected with the bathroom, anything connected with the kitchen. I bring out the bins.
Okay.
And I iron.
All of them.
I iron, yeah.
Okay, iron. That's good.
Yeah, I'm good at that, yeah.
Have you ever had penalty points in your license?
Can I tell you a true story?
Yes.
I was late coming here. News talk, yeah. And I went to, and you know what the problem was?
What?
Luke Ming Flanagan was in the news for trying to get off penalty points. So I didn't try to get off the penalty points because I genuinely was in a rush and I could have pretended I was going to the door, but I decided not to risk it. But I went to the college green corridor by mistake. I actually genuinely took a wrong turn. And I didn't want to explain to the guard. I just took the whack. But I was coming here. I was late.
There you go.
It's political penalty.
Breaking news there.
Yeah.
Absolutely breaking news.
So you can pay me back if you want.
Have you ever considered joining any other political party?
I had a great flirtation with the hard left as a student, and I once went on a demo with them to drop the death demo in Genoa in 2001, and I got tear gas for my trouble and everything, and I was saved from the tear gas by a elderly Argentinian lady. But yeah, I had a flirtation with the hard left, but then I had a realisation that if you want to change something, you actually have to be in the mainstream and you have to get into government. So no, Labour was my choice.
Have you ever line danced?
In the Gaeltacht again, yeah. I've done all my...
Well, it happened in the Gaeltacht.
Yeah. We broke new ground in terms of my romantic endeavours and also line dancing in the Gaeltacht. There was a particular... in the Gaeltacht, you couldn't dance to anything which had Irish or English words in it. So they had the Swamp Song, I think it was. And we did that. Oscar.
What's the meanest thing ever said to you on the doorsteps?
What time is it? It's only 2:15. Oh, sure. What's the meanest thing? The very first door I ever knocked on for myself. Ever. 2004, local elections, all full of enthusiasm. I'm running for the local elections for myself. I'm the candidate. I'm working in the inner city. I really want to, you know, care about the world and change the world and all the rest of it. And the first door I knocked on, a guy came out in his dressing gown and he didn't say a word, just slammed it right in my face.
That's a real confidence booster, that. Do you think of yourself as a sex symbol? You do get a bit of attention. The big red face number.
You do get
a bit of attention. Minister for blushing now.
Because one guy told me that I was a sex symbol because I was a prick.
Is it Paolo Thursday already? Jesus, where'd the week go? You know, that's a funny thing. I do have that sense. I know you do, Paolo. I know half the country does as well. They chart their week in terms of...
It's the beginning of the weekend.
It is the beginning of the weekend when you're here. There you go. As no doubt you all know by now, at the weekend, Paolo Tullio passed away. He had been... He had been ill for quite some time, so we thought we'd start the show in obviously not the usual way. It just wouldn't seem right to just plough on without mentioning it. As you know, probably he hadn't been in with us for a couple of months. He had various health issues that he was dealing with, and we, of course, had hoped that he might get through that. But unfortunately, that's not what happened. And as you heard there just from that clip, we are going to play some other clips. Paolo was doing that slot every Thursday afternoon at 3 o'clock for 5 years. And every Thursday afternoon, he would come into the studio, and this is before the red light would go on or anything like that, would still be in the news. And he'd sit down, he'd go, "Mr. Moncrief." And then he'd say, "How was your week?" And then we'd start talking. And we started talking before the red light went on. As often as not, we'd be in mid-conversation when the red light went on, and the Caroline Clark would be eating the face off me for not being professional. Genuinely feel a loss at his passing, says another texter. Even though I only knew him through radio, he had real gravitas, the humility to admit when he didn't know. And unlike a lot of experts, I found confidence in what he had to say. Yeah, indeed. And that was there was something about his voice that suited radio so well. It kind of almost made him super Paolo, which he was to a degree. And Niall in Cork says, met Paolo once at a food festival in Cork, and we spent ages talking about his slot on your show. He said that it was one of the main things in his week that he looked forward to, that the half hour slot was such fun and was never dull. His affection for the show was evident. I hope he realised that the audience thought that too. I'll miss it, his dulcet tones, says Niall. Well, we all will, obviously, Niall. And I think he did. Mm. I think he did appreciate that. The Caroline Clark is with us now in the studio, and she was saying the last time you got a text from him, he said, "When can I come home?" And he never did. Shit, sorry, I started crying. Ah, sorry. Okay. Before you took this decision, did you know much about the Shannon? Had you been in the Shannon? Do you know how politics works?
I'd have a fair idea. I would hope I would have a fair idea, Sean, of how politics works. Yeah, I mean, of course, you know, I know what the Shannon's role is. I know when I voted to keep the Shannon, but I do believe, you know, we should look at reforming it.
In what way?
Well, I think it should have a little bit more say in the sense that it has to keep an eye on what the government decisions are, what the government policies are, what the legislation is put through. And I think they need to have a little bit more power in that area. I think maybe we should look at changing the electorate. I feel that it might be better. I think it'll be healthier. I think it will be more democratic. And I suppose I would like to think I would do that as well. I would like to, that would be something that would be in my manifesto as well, is Shannon reform.
Over the years, though, there have been more than a dozen reports on Shannon reform, all largely suggesting that, and all of them were thrown in a cupboard.
Sure, but it is moving. You know, more and more people are talking about it. Even when I'm going around the country now and canvassing and meeting amazing people, unbelievable councillors, who just, I feel, are inspirational. But they're even saying, yeah, you know, there should be Shannon reform. You know, you talk to any of even the TDs, and they're saying, yeah, you know, people are nodding as opposed to shaking their heads, which I think is so there is a kind of a gentle move towards Shannon reform. Mm. And it's just to get more people in there who will continue to keep that going, to keep that pace going, to really fight for it, I suppose.
Yeah.
And I know there are a lot of people who are agreeing with it. It's just maybe they haven't got around to it yet. And it's people like me who go in there and start moving things.
Well, because I suppose there's a perception that the reason why we need Shannon reform is that the Dáil can completely ignore what the Shannon says and does on a regular basis.
Exactly.
But it's up to the Dáil to bring about the Shannon reform, not the Shannon. So you can't really force the Dáil to give you power.
You can't, but you can convince people. And when once you get into the Shannon, you can get on committees, you can start talking to people, you know, and you can persuade, you know, and that's really what I would like to think I would do, particularly around Shannon reform, but also around the addiction services that are out there, also around mental health services that are out there, also around the homelessness issue, which is something I really am you know, passionate about. So I think you can get in there on those committees. And I've been talking to people, and I'm not even in the Seanad, who would like me to get into the Seanad. People like, I mean, look, Maureen O'Sullivan has a great, for me, I just think she's wonderful. She does fantastic work in her community. And I've been talking to Maureen. I say, Maureen, if I get in, I would love to be on a committee, particularly around the addiction issue that's happening in Ireland.
Right. Okay. So have you got any endorsements? Do you have any...
Oh yes, of course.
Politicians backing you, or
well,
or
Maureen has given me. I haven't asked any major politicians. I've asked Maureen to endorse me because I think Maureen is amazing. Sister Stan has endorsed me from Focus Ireland. I've been endorsed by Paul Kelly, who set up Console and is a fantastic organisation for suicide bereavement. Michael Conlon from SICTA, which is an association in the Liberties area, a community association, fantastic. Brilliant association, Conor Cusack. Now they're the people I've just kind of. They were the first people for me that I asked, because I think they're all. I suppose I would look up to them. You know, I think they're amazing people. So I asked them, and they've all, I suppose, endorsed me and believe that I can do the job.
Do you think you're tough enough for it?
I think I can be tough. I'm a therapist, Sean, as well. So, I mean, I'm an addiction therapist. So I've worked in the field of addiction. And often when you work in the field of addiction, there's a lot of chaos. And
no, I see. What I meant was, let me just read out one text to you. Okay. The first text that came in.
Okay.
So Francis has nothing to do with a cushy job and a nice pension. You will get that attitude over and over
and
over again.
Yes, and I'm already getting that attitude.
Yeah.
And I am already getting that attitude. And I understand why people would feel frustrated around that. But I can guarantee you, this is not something that I'm going in. And I really mean this when I say this is not
for sure,
a career move for me.
They all say that.
But they do. But I really mean it, because I have...
They say they really mean it. So, what do you need?
We'll do a little freestyle exam. Like,
okay.
What we'll do is we'll just try and a very easy thing for radio. We'll get you to throw us words. Anytime we point to you, you just throw in a word. We're going to try and use it in a song. So, a little freestyle exam, a little test for the MCs.
Okay, all right.
We're going to try and make this happen. You grab whatever words, don't let us know. We're going to maybe play the beat there in the background. There it is. We'll bring up the music. We'll bring up the music. There we go. Ladies and gentlemen, Sean Moncrief, News Talk.
Let's do this.
Yep. Okay, we kick it off the top. Yeah, man, it's great. 106, and we hit the dial to 108.
Yo.
Listen, you know, man, tonight we gonna drop a rap. Fan of the man since what? Don't feed the gondolas. First word we got, sir.
Vagina.
Yeah, you know we going wiser. Hyper, vagina. Up in the place, yep, you know, man, proper. Make some noise for the terms that the doctor's got to use. You know, man, easy. V to the I-G-I-N-A. Second word we get, man, properly. We drop it free. I like that we started with the lady biology.
Turn up.
Yeah, man, you know it's acceptable. Dress to kill, but looking to die, you try a vegetable. Yeah, you know one thing they can serve, kid, that is perfect. The soup that I rock with is turnip. Yep, you know, man, that's the truth. You know, we take it to the past like the vegetable roots. We do a man check it like, please, Sean Moncrief, can you drop the number 3?
Marmalade.
Yeah, man, you know it's not hard to say a part of, hey, feck the jam, going with the marmalade. Let me tell you, seriously, fella, what's a good thing on toast? Marmalade mixed with Nutella. That stuff is proper. They call me the toast version of a Willy Wonka. Hardcore, we kick a few more. Sean, can you just take us to number 4?
Earthquake.
Yep, you know, okay, right now, okay, kids, we taking you to the place, kids, San Andreas. Yep, you know, man, yep, quickly never fail. Make the hip-hop try to bang
Richter scale.
Yeah, you know, never let, like, the words mistake. We hit them like perfect, no earthquakes.
Flippers.
Yep, we bring the vibe. Okay, we take this to number 5. It hits me. As a kid, favorite show, it was like Skippy. Yeah, but after that, man, I was like, I miss the animals that would help solve some problems. I was more into possibly like dolphins. Yep, it was magic. Man, it was some rad bits. And then I saw the show that was simply called Blackfish. I was like, yo, I've got 99 problems. And one of them is Flipper, the greatest ever dolphin. Yeah, that's right. Hardcore is bliss. Now, let's take it towards the end. Sean, number 6.
Scrotum.
Do this, man, you know, we ain't joking. Started with the vaginas, now we scrotum. Yep, you know, drop that rap. You know, man, I'm seriously, drop that sack. Yep, man, you know that this should be acceptable. dudes, don't forget to double check both your testicles. Yeah, yeah, you know, man, we blow, son. Now we're gonna grab that. Maybe the last word after scrotum.
Turkeys.
Yeah, man, you heard of these. Murder these come Christmas, it's the turkeys. Ah, you know, there will be some drama every year. Obama saves one. Yeah, you know, man, legends. What day is that? The American date for independence? Is it that?
Either way.
Thanksgiving.
Man, we mad driven. For this show, I give Thanksgiving. Yeah, we doing this. Yeah, man, it's quite sweet. If you on a diet, try eat white meat. Yep, you know, no diss and just listen. Can't get yourself the turkey. Kick it with the chicken. Ladies and gentlemen, we killing that beat. Make some noise for your boys or Mr. Moncrief.
That's a bando, man.